Hello, I'm Dominic Shaw, Gazette Borough writer, joined by another Gazette Borough writer, Philip Tallentire, and Borough season ticket holder, Chris Garbutt, who was in the front of the queue to get your ticket for the home and away leg this week. Gabs. No problems?
No. Obviously, a little bit nervy for the away leg. Obviously, the demand's been pretty high for that this week, but managed to secure two for me and my old man, so looking for a trip. Looking forward to the trip to Villa Park on Tuesday, hopefully 3-0 up.
Yeah, Borough's 2,000 allocation sold in less than 10 minutes, I think, when they went on sale the other night. We'll get straight into it then, obviously looking ahead to both ties. Steve Bruce and Tony Pulis have both addressed the media and looked ahead to the game. We'll start with what Pulis said immediately after the draw at Ipswich, Gabs. That Villa are big favourites, that Villa have the best squad in the league. Does he mean that? Is that mind games?
I think, as soon as the final whistle went at Portman Road on Sunday, the attention turned straight to this two-legged tie. And I think that was the start of the mind games, really. I think Pulis likes to be seen as us going in as the underdogs. You know, he's asked for that sort of raucous underdog atmosphere at the Riverside tomorrow. He also mentioned, the talent that Aston Villa have got in their squad. I think that was probably maybe off the backside of people saying that about him all the way through the second half of this season. You know, that's something that's been mentioned about the money that we've spent here. Aston Villa in a very similar situation have spent a lot of money, so he's maybe just sort of dampening the pressure, taking the weight of the shoulders off his team a little bit, and that's followed suit all week. You know, I think that that's the tone that he's probably trying to set before tomorrow's first leg.
What do we reckon, Phil? Is there more pressure on Villa, or is it the same both teams?
Well, I think if you look at it with the neutrals' viewpoint, I think both teams are under intense pressure. I mean, Villa because they're Villa, because the big expectations. When they came down, everyone was talking about them as being a basket case, weren't they? You know, they had big financial problems. They came down in desperate fashion. I know a few people said if they don't go up this season, it could be a long old fight for them to get out of the Championship. I think there is pressure on them. I think Steve Bruce is a great operator. I think he's done a good job there. Obviously, we don't see them week in, week out, but it is a good squad. You know, when you've got players of the calibre of Codger and people like that,
Grealish,
but I think there's pressure on Middlesbrough as well. You know, they spent big in the summer, spent a lot of money. You could question whether that's been spent wisely. I do think they spent enough money in the right areas to be competitive this season, because as we've seen, they haven't played particularly well for large stretches of the season, yet they've finished fifth. So that tells you a little bit about the quality of the Championship this season, which I think has been poor. I think it shows a lot about Tony Pulis's nous, that he's got starting to get the best out of that sort of disparate group of players who are starting to look like a unit. I mean, who will be the most disappointed? I think there is a case to say that, obviously we as people who watch and report on Middlesbrough would be massively disappointed not to be in the Premier League next season, but I don't think it's a huge, huge disaster. Is it a disaster for Villa? I mean, only they'll know how much financially they've got invested in this current squad, and whether they can keep the good players. That's one of the important things, is it? About getting back in the Premier League, is keeping your star players. I mean, we wouldn't expect to keep, for example, more Besic if Borough don't go up. I think we'd struggle to hold on to Dharma Traore even if Borough do go up, but particularly, what are the ambitions of the players? And also, there are players within that team who's, starting to come towards the end of their natural shelf life. I'm thinking of people like Grant, who's been a fantastic servant.
Stewie,
he's getting older. Yeah. George Friend's not getting any younger. Those kind of players as well. Are they going to be up for another season in the Championship? So, I think it's an interesting argument to have who's under most pressure. I think what Steve Bruce and Tony Pulis will be, as football men, vastly experienced football men, they'll be desperate to get out of the Championship. They'll both be desperate to be back in the Premier League.
Both see themselves as Premier League managers, yeah. And rightly so.
Yeah. Well, I'll put that to you, Tom. I mean, as Middlesbrough fans, personally, the sort of atmosphere, the feeling amongst the fans that you speak to at work and in pubs and at the matches and so on and so forth, is that Tony Pulis has only had 5 months worth of work on this team. He's brought in one player, so I think there'd be more of an acceptance at Borough that if Borough don't go up this season, he's done well to get us where we are, because when he took over at the turn of the year, Borough weren't getting in the playoffs, were they?
They weren't that far off though, were they?
No, but they weren't getting in the playoffs.
So I think that, you know, if Middlesbrough were to go out over two legs against Aston Villa or lose at Wembley again, then I think there will be more of an acceptance amongst Borough fans and maybe the people around this area that, you know, he's done well to get us where we go, where we did get to this season. We go again next year. Whereas, I think Villa fans, I'm sure that the people in the club and in Birmingham who are Aston Villa fans are more desperate and more expectant to be getting promoted out.
Well,
of
I think the other thing, and you touched on it there, is not to say that there would ever be an acceptance that this Borough team, because Borough were, I thought, woefully underachieved in the first half of the season with that group of players. But I think there was an acceptance for long stages of the season, as recently as early April, that this Borough team weren't going on. You know, the defeat at Sheffield United, Borough looked nothing like promotion contenders that day.
I think
there's been an acceptance for the majority of the season that Borough aren't going up. So that doesn't... That's not to say that now you get in the playoffs, you think, oh, well, if we get beat, it doesn't matter.
No, of course.
But suddenly, it almost feels like anything else is a bonus, really. Whereas Villa have been there or thereabouts. I mean, they got themselves... They've had a few blips, haven't they? The most damaging one, I think, was that run at the end of March when I think they picked up 1 point out of three games against Hull, QPR and Bolton, maybe. But they've been secured a playoff place for a long while, haven't they?
Yeah.
And it's how you respond to that, isn't it?
It's almost as if Borough are bouncing into this where we've been given like a little bit of a second bite of the cherry. I said this about Derby, which is when Borough went to Derby 3 weeks ago and beat them, that was almost like the acceptance that like they're going to blow it and they're not going to get in the top six.
We said in this forum, didn't we, that they're gone.
Yeah.
They had gone.
So, you know, the couple of decent results that they've had over the last 3-4 weeks, almost it was all of a sudden they've got like a little bit of a second wind and they're bouncing into the playoffs. And we are here, you know, 5-6 weeks ago, getting beat at Sheffield United. Borough were not getting in the top six, and that, you know, now we find ourselves here.
The big question is for me, Chris, is that have they got another one of those Sheffield United performances left in them?
If you don't come back from it, because they lost 2-1, you put you in.
It was the manner of the performance thing, wasn't it? I mean, the derby result set aside, Borough haven't been fantastic under Tony Pulis. They've been functional, they've been effective, they've kind of done enough. And that makes you think, is that what they are? Are they not getting any better than that? There are, you know, he found a way of playing, hasn't he? But you're thinking, you know, there's still players in that team. You think, I'm not sure, you know, how good they can really be. You know, is there anybody there who isn't fulfilling the potential? Is there anybody on the sidelines who hasn't come in? It's an intriguing one with Borough, because Pulis just walked through the door, put his stamp on the team, got shot of a few faces he didn't fancy. And by and large, he's kept the same group together, hasn't he? So,
I'll put this to you: how much do you guys think of how much does the season now have a bearing on what we face over the next 5 days? Do you rip that up, and is it just whoever turns up over the next two games goes to Wembley, or because? You sort of do want to bounce into the plus with a little bit of momentum. We've seen that the 3-4 years ago when we got to Wembley and got beat off Norwich and got completely outplayed at Wembley, we did the double over them.
I think it's all about. And I mean, that is the perfect example. And Bruce touched on this a lot in his presser. It's how you handle the occasions.
Yeah.
And Borough simply didn't handle that occasion. They got it all wrong. They turned up late.
Yeah.
I thought they'd been in London far too long. I think they got London the Friday before the Monday game.
They went to the
playoff. Treat it as you would any other game, and as soon as you start doing it differently to that, the players are suddenly aware that this means more. We all know it does, but if for a London game, Borough usually travel down the night before, get the plane down, fly down, stay over the night before, go to the game. If you get to Wembley, do that.
It's another fixture, isn't
it? Villa away, Monday night, go down, have the night, then relax during the day on Tuesday and play your game.
I mean,
it's all about handling the occasion, isn't it?
I think for me, interestingly, touch on that point about, you know, Borough bouncing the plus. I thought you saw the best and worst of Borough Ipswich in a lot of respects. You saw them slow out the traps. 15 minutes.
They were
really average. Well played Ipswich for what was a meaningless game for them, for giving it a go, and their manager will be pleased with that. But Borough took 15-20 minutes too long to get going, and then they showed great spirit to find a way, and I kind of feel that's one of these seasons. Borough keep finding a way, to score in the 6 minute stoppage time. Now people might say, well, it's no real difference playing Fulham or Villa. Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but I think if we've been sat here under the shadow of a 2-1 defeat against an Ipswich team who, let's face it, have, you know, spent the last 2 or 3 weeks on the beach more or less, I think we'd have a different attitude, wouldn't we? It is something to hang on to say, you know, Borough did come from behind twice. You can question, you know, the manner of the goals and the type of goals Borough conceded, but there is a resilience about this team now that wasn't there. There is a strength in, I think picking the same 10-11 players every week has a massive impact in terms of the belief. You know, those players know that barring an absolute disaster, they're not going to be dropped. If they put a shift in for Tony Pulis, he likes and respects them, and I think it's coming back that the players like Tony Pulis. Well, he's a players'
that,
manager.
On that, we now know the team for Saturday.
What
do we make of that?
It was set in stone, really, isn't it? The only question to
Britt
be
Bamford.
Yeah, the only question to be answered was: is it going to be Bamford or Sombalonga? I wouldn't have minded either way, to be honest. I think they're both scoring goals. They're both firing. They're both fit. They're both hungry. So that wouldn't have bothered me, that, you know, the way he decided that. I think what was interesting, the last game of the season, and both Bruce and Pulis have both had their own sort of way of looking at it and way of handling it, is, you know, Villa made 8 changes on Sunday, they got beat. So, you know, they're coming into this where a lot of their big hitters, their big players, their main players haven't kicked the ball for 14 days. They're coming off the back of a defeat where Pulis has sort of gone in and said, same 11, strongest 11, don't lose, carry on the momentum that we've had over the last sort of 3 or 4 weeks. So it's going to be interesting to see how both teams, you know, how the mindset is, you know, will that affect Aston Villa? Or are they going to be sort of refreshed and buoyant after a little bit of a break and ready to go again tomorrow? It's you know, they've both sort of approached it in different ways, haven't they?
But Borough have been, you know, the perfect example of fortune and misfortune in the second half of the season, haven't they? Because Rudy Gestede gets that injury when it looked like he was going to be nailed on to Pulis's first choice. In comes Patrick Bamford.
Yeah.
Bamford looks like the player who set the league alight a few weeks ago, has that obviously injury that thankfully didn't look as bad as it did, thankfully wasn't as bad as it looked at the time. But he's lost his spot in the team, and in comes Britt Sombalonga, credit to him. What a boost for Sombalonga to get that nod a day before. What a frustrating setback for Bamford last few weeks.
I think it goes back to what I was saying before about the squad. You know, there's lots of faults with the squad, but there are players who've been able to come in and do a job, and a lot of managers wouldn't have that luxury. You could name 5 or 6 managers in the Championship. If they lose their main striker, that's it, they've had it for the rest of the season. Burr have been able to, you know, I mean, many people, me included, felt that Gestede wasn't the best player to play up front for Borough, but that was Tony's choice. He went with him. When he got injured, he could call upon Bamford or Sombalonga. Most managers would just give the left arm for that sort of luxury, to have that talent on the bench.
As many managers have pointed out this season,
you know, and he's also had the situation where he's been able to almost rotate Ledbetter and Clayton, two vastly experienced Championship players, and you could say that's maybe brought the best out of Clayton, because he's had to respond when he's come back in the team, and I think he's been good since he's come back in the team. And you just wonder if that was, you know, maybe had he got a little bit blasé about, you know, well, I'm Middlesbrough's number 8, I'm going to turn up every week, and, you know, I'll be in the team. And the having that luxury, so to speak, has been a big thing. And Pulis isn't daft. He knows which players he can rely on, which he can't. But I think it's great. Also, you talk about luck, and is it luck or is it good? Is it good management? Good medical health care? That Burr have only really got one senior player missing.
Yeah.
You know, after 46 games, that's pretty impressive, really. That, you know, I don't know. As I say, that there must be something, because Burr keep getting their team out on the pitch, and that's a huge factor.
Right, let's talk Adama Adoma then. We asked Matt Kendrick of Birmingham Live earlier this week who he'd rather have in the Villa team at the minute, Adama Traore or Albert Adoma. I have a feeling I know which way this one will go, but Garbs?
Do you know what? Like, I loved Albert when he was here. I did. A lot of people compare that, you know, that swap deal that we did with Villa, you know, Albert for Adama. I don't think it was the circumstances that them transfers were under was different, because Aston Villa were in the Championship and Middlesbrough were a Premier League team at the time. So Albert started last season in the Premier League. He sort of played a couple of games, didn't he, in and out of the team, and then obviously was sold on. Whereas I think he was sold to Aston Villa as a high-performing, electric winger in the championship level.
Who knows the division.
Who knows the division, but was looking like he probably couldn't quite cut it at Premier League level. I think that was an acceptance when he was sold to Villa.
Do you think? See, I think Adorma would have been worth a shot in the Prem.
I don't know.
I think Borough missed him last year.
I think there's two issues.
The things with
I think there's two issues on Adorma. One was he'd been looking to get away for a long time. So I know Borough in the Premier League, it was strange that he stepped down a division, but he had, for a couple of years, had his eye on getting a move. Secondly, he clearly didn't have a relationship with Aitor Karanka. Going back to the season before that,
the fallout.
You know, the big fallout, the big disagreement. You know, he was sent to train with the kids, wasn't he? So, you know, there's no two ways about that. And those are the kind of things that you have to factor in with a transfer. I think it's coincidence that one came in and one went out.
Yeah, it was different circumstances. You know, it's not as if, like, if it was now and halfway through this season they swapped, that was a straight swap. Two teams going for championship, but it was different when the transfers went through.
I think Adorma would have done better in that season than Traore would have done. Because Traore would have performed in about two or three matches in reality. Mm. When he was good, he was outstanding against Arsenal, for example, Manchester City away. There was a couple of occasions where his pace looked phenomenal, but really he was nothing more than an impact sub for a lot of the season. Mm. I think Adorma, had he been around, would have proved his usefulness by being a reliable player on the right-hand side. What? Having said that, he'd probably missed out, because Giovanni would have played on the right anyway, so it's hypothetical now.
I think the interesting thing about comparing them this season as well is, you know, people look at the stats and what's gone through, assists, you know, goals scored, so on and so forth. Adama's season has been from January, hasn't it? You know, Pulis came in after Monk left in at the end of December. I mean, Traore is since January has just been absolutely demolishing everything in his path, hasn't he? And, you know, that's probably things that Villa, you know, if Villa haven't seen a lot of Borough this season, then the image of him will probably be, yeah, he's quick and he can take a few people on, but he doesn't deliver. But he really has been on the nail. I mean, he's been getting sort of assists week in, week out, two at a time. He's been scoring goals and absolutely tearing everything.
Yeah, because on that, Villa haven't seen the best of Traore either, because he obviously got sent off in that first game, which was a shame because it came on the back of that blistering Bolton performance, which was really his only real standout showing under Monk. And the second game obviously came very, very early in Pulis's reign before the manager had really had a chance to get his mitts on him. So Traore is coming up against, he's got to handle the occasion, because there's no doubt he's going to be absolutely desperate to prove his point. But you can go in over-egged up, as he was in that game.
As he was at Villa Park, yeah.
Villa, on the other hand, have now got to contain a player who they haven't come up against, because the Traore of old was nothing like the Traore of now. It's an interesting dynamic on both parts, isn't it, Phil?
Yeah, it is. I just wonder if we're more reliant on Traore than they are on Adorma.
Oh, undoubtedly.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah. So they'll be thinking, if you
I think Borough are more reliant on Traore than most teams are
than anybody else. Yeah. I mean, I go back to that.
Is that not testament to how good he is, though?
Well, you know, or over reliant Borough on him.
Well, no, perhaps. Of course. But if you've got a worldie in your team, you're going to be reliant on him.
No, that's true. But it goes back to the. I've been saying this for a few weeks now. Getting Traore off that four-match ban was possibly the turning point of the season. As much as Bamford coming into form, as much as Traore coming into form, as much as Mo Besic making an impact, Traore not missing four games was huge, surely, because, as you just said, he was pretty much Borough's only outlet, and he's the one player who frightens the opposition to death. I mean, obviously, there are different ends of their careers, aren't there? Adama's approaching the back end of his career, you would suggest.
Albert
Adorma, and Adama Traore is really just at the start of his career with so much to offer. Mm. I mean, I like that. You know, we've discussed this many, many times. I mean, for me, Adorma was a more effective player in his first season under Karanka. And, you know, when
it's
he was.
Job Anthony Biggers,
I know, I know. Well, we've debated this long and hard, but I don't, you know, all I'll say is that. He reduced his stats in half, didn't he, in one season? Half his goals and half his assists. So if that's improving an attacking player, I'm not sure what is. But that, I get what Aitor wanted. He wanted a player who worked harder. But, you know, in a team with pretty much seven defenders, do you need everybody else to defend as well? So that's gone now. That's history. Mm. But I do think Adama, if we're talking about him, was when he looked his best, when he had a little bit of a free reign. Maybe he didn't work as hard defensively as he perhaps should have done, but he was contributing at the other end of the pitch.
That's what Pulis has said to him, hasn't he? You know, maybe it's the restraints and the tactical restraints that he was under Karanka.
Do what you're good at.
I think Pulis has come in and said, look, you know, you're absolutely frightening going forward. You just concentrate on doing that. You've got midfielders and defenders behind you that can keep the ball out of our net. You just go and do what you're good at. But and what that is absolutely terrorising. Terrorising defences to death.
And I think on that, credit to Ryan Shotton, because at times it can't be too easy playing behind a player with Traore. First of all, you can't keep up with him, and secondly, he is unpredictable, isn't he? But Shotton's been solid when in kind of quickly established that link up between him, that understanding, and had a good second half of the season.
What I would say slightly in Karanka's favour is in defence is that Traore's playing second division football at the moment. It's a different level. It's a different, you know. I'm not saying that takes anything away from what he's done in this second half of the season, because it doesn't. He's been fantastic. I think he'd have done that to most defences. But to be fair, you know, if his big test will be whether it's with Burrow or somebody else next season. If he's back in the Premier League, he'll have to do it, and he can't disappear for 3 or 4 weeks at a time. Yeah. You know, which he's capable of doing. And even over the second half season, there was a couple of occasions where it started catching up with him. I think that was just because he'd never played that volume of games for so long. I think he just took it out of his...
Got the international call.
You know, his afterburners, you know, got coked up a bit, didn't they? You know, after, as you say, the Spanish call-up. But that will be the big test moving forward. I mean, but when he's on his knees. He's a phenomenal talent. And, you know, I can guarantee you that Steve Bruce, Steve Agnew, Colin Calderwood will all be sat around over the past week thinking, how are we going to nullify his threat?
Just briefly on attacking midfielders and danger men, we talked about Albert Adoma, but the real threat, when you look at the stats and the numbers, is probably Robert Snodgrass for Aston Villa, who Borough obviously wanted to sign last January, I think it was, when Borough were absolutely crying out for creativity. He's been a really, really shrewd bit of business for Villa, hasn't he?
Yeah, good player. Yeah. a Premier League player, for me, in my opinion. I think he offers assists on a regular basis. He scores goals. He knows where the net is. He can cross a ball and he looks to get forward. So that, you know, we speak about this dossier that that Villa have had, and I would imagine a big chunk of that dossier that Villa have got will be on Adama Traore. And I guarantee whatever dossier Borough have got tomorrow, it'll be on nullifying the threat of Robert Snodgrass. I would like Demir. Was it when he went to West Ham instead?
West Ham didn't work out.
Hull wouldn't sell him to Borough.
Hull wouldn't sell him to Borough, would they? Because obviously we were sort of like battling there to stay in the Premier League at that time. So yeah, he's a player that we're going to need to keep an eye on tomorrow. But look, Aston Villa have got a wealth of talent going forward. You know, Jack Grealish, another one who Borough are really going to have to stop tomorrow. But I know for a fact that, you know, if Snodgrass is on his game, Borough will do well to cut out his creativity, definitely.
And another player with a cultured left boot, to coin a term, Phil, Stuart Downing, obviously formerly of Aston Villa, scored the goal at Ipswich last weekend. It's you know, to think at the start of the season he wasn't so much on the fringe, he was completely out the picture and told he could leave. You know, we talk about the over-reliance on Traore. Downing's always got a key role.
Well, I think his role over the first half of the season is in danger of being overlooked because of Adama Traore's impact over the second half of the season. Downing was unquestionably Borough's most consistent player, certainly in attacking sense, over the first half of the season. Him and the Sombalonga anyway. Sombalonga obviously had a quiet December, but when you factor in the fact that he was basically told to train with the kids because he wouldn't do as he was told and go to Birmingham, for him to come back into the team, and he hasn't really kicked off, he hasn't made a fuss, he's just got on with it. And I think when the story of this season's written, that deserves a chapter of its own. I do think he's become slightly less influential as Traore has become more influential, but he scored the goal against Ipswich, he got a goal against Forest, which I'm sure he enjoyed massively. He's still a quality player. You see his contribution in other games, you know, it does go under the radar because he's not a flashy player.
Yeah.
He rarely wastes the ball, he reads the game so well. You speak to any manager who's managed him, with the possible exception of Brendan Rodgers, and they'll tell you he was one of the first names on their team sheets. Now, that doesn't happen because people like somebody. That happens because they really value what he does. And you talk about managers like Kenny Dalglish, for example, Martin O'Neill, Sam Allardyce, wily long-term operators. You know, Steve McLaren realised how important he was. Managers down throughout his career have valued what he contributes, and I know he's getting towards the end of his career. I think he'll be 34 this year, and he won't be able to go on forever. But I tell you what, we'd have missed him this season, and He took a lot of stick last season. He's took a lot of stick in the summer, and he's just got on with it. And I like to hear it when he goes off sometimes, and the Borough fans still sing "He's One of Our Own," because I think that's recognised that, you know, he genuinely cares about the club and wants them to do well.
Well, you don't play 30 odd games for England and go to European Championships and play in World Cups and go for £20 million to Liverpool if you're not, you know, if you haven't got a bit about you, have you? So he's had a great career. I think his role's changed. You know, he's not that sort of blistering winger that goes past people anymore, is he? And he'd still cross a ball from dead. His delivery is still fantastic. He very, very rarely gives the ball away. He also, you know, his defensive duties are pretty sound too. He gets back and helps there. So you know, Stuart Downing, I'll always have a lot of time for him.
We'll wrap up. What's a good result for Borough this weekend? What's a bad result for Villa?
God.
I'll take a one goal lead now. If Borough can take a one goal lead down to Villa Park. We talked about pressure earlier. For me, that lumps a load of pressure on Villa, and that gives you that lovely opportunity to hit a team on the break when they're looking for a goal. Mm. It's a difficult one. If Borough got a goal lead, you know how they're going to set up. They're going to keep it tight. They're going to get men behind the ball, and they're going to, when the chance comes. You talk about Traore. You've got that pace to burn. You know, fitness permitting, if he gets through the first leg fine, which I'm sure he will, you've got that pace to burn that can hurt a team who are looking for the goal. And suddenly, if you get the second on the road, that's a game changer, isn't it?
Bernie Slaven, our columnist, obviously said this week that a draw wouldn't be a disaster for Borough in the first leg.
You know, all the different permutations have been going round and round in my head ever since the final whistle at Ipswich, really. Borough have already shown twice this season that they can go to Villa and get a result. Obviously knocking them out of the League Cup, and I know that was a sort of different team, but it was for Borough too. It wasn't Borough's first team, and then going down to 10 men after so early on in the league game and showing that we can eke out and stop them and get the result. So, you know, there is that, but then Villa have also shown that they can come to the Riverside, and on the night when I thought Borough played pretty well, actually.
Bruce described that as a classic away performance. Yeah, it was exactly that.
They nullified Borough and obviously got the win. So look, it's, if I wouldn't be too disheartened if it was a draw tomorrow. I'd love to take a lead to Villa Park, but I honestly can't call it. You know, sometimes you look and you think they're probably favourites, but I personally do not think you can split this tie. I think it's 50-50.
A perfect way to wrap up. Thanks, Phil. Thanks, Garbs. Enjoy the weekend.